In verse 40, chapter 45, verses 22 and 23, God is calling upon mankind to look to Him. And it's a beautiful passage about our salvation and about the Word of God. So let's look at it together. Isaiah 45, verse 22, He says, "Look unto Me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by Myself, the word has gone out of My mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto Me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." So our title today is "Look unto Me, and be ye saved." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You'd use Your word in our hearts now. Our hearts have already been blessed mightily with the young people and their accomplishments and the singing that bring praise to You. Lord, now may we focus on hearing from Your word through the Holy Spirit. We believe in its power and pray that You would apply that power to each of our hearts. And Lord, that You would be honored, but that You would guide us in Your truth. We ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's start with that first word, look. What an important word for this world. They look everywhere else, don't they? They look for answers in pleasures. They look for answers in the cults. God says, no, look unto Me. Amen? Look unto Me. You know, when Jesus was talking about salvation, when He could have chosen anything in the Old Testament to give us His picture of salvation, He chose when Moses was commanded to put a serpent on a pole and the people were being bit by snakes and they had to look at that serpent to be healed of their snake bite. Jesus chose that. In John chapter 3, most of us know verse 16 quite well. God so loved the world. But do you know 14 and 15, which says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." They just had to look. Amen? And they were healed of their snake bite. Every human being has been bitten by this snake called the devil and is a sinner and needs healing, and only God can bring that healing. But you must look. You must look unto no one else but, as it says there, Me. This is Jehovah speaking in the Old Testament. He says, look unto Me. Don't look unto the church. Don't look unto man. Don't look unto your works. Don't look anywhere else. Look unto Me. Because He is the only answer to our problem, our sin problem, which will condemn us to hell. Jesus said in John 10:7, "I am the door of the sheep." He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." In Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is only one way to heaven, and that is through our Creator and the way that He has provided. And He uses that word there in verse 22, that word "saved." Look unto Me and be ye saved. The word "saved" or "salvation" is in the Bible more than 500 times. Now, in the Old Testament context, it often does refer to being literally saved from destruction or saved from death. But many times it is referring to being saved from hell, being saved from the consequences of our sin. And if you look at John 3:17, God explained to us that there's only one way to be saved. Now, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved," there in Acts chapter 16. Now, I've already quoted John 3:14 and 15, verse 16. Everybody knows already. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But look at verse 17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Saved is a Bible word. And there's only one that can save us, and that is God. He says there in Isaiah 45:22, all the ends of the earth. God wants everyone saved. When we did our study on Calvinism in Sunday school a few weeks ago, we saw that it's God's will that all be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's perfect will, that everyone repent and be saved. Look at 1 Timothy 2:4 if you would. This is God's perfect will for mankind, that all of mankind look unto Him and be saved. All the ends of the earth. Look at 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. All men. That's God's will. God wants all men to be saved. Isn't that beautiful? God says, look unto me. Don't look anywhere else, because you're not going to find the solution to your sin problem. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto no one else. God so loved the world. God wants everyone saved. He finishes in verse 22 of Isaiah 45 by reminding us that He is the only God. This is a very common theme in the book of Isaiah, especially here in the 40s, that God is making it very clear that He is the only God. Now, once we understand the nature of God, that He's everywhere, that He's all-powerful, that He knows everything, there can only be one all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. And that is the God of the Bible, who wrote us this book to tell us about Himself. And He makes it very clear throughout the Scriptures that there is no other God. There are false gods, of course. The devil's referred to as a god, little g. But he's not God. He's a false god. And there are many false gods. But God says, I am God, and there is none else. That's it. There is none else. And all through Isaiah, this portion, I'm just going to read some scriptures to save time. He says here in chapter 43, verse 10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. In 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. 44:8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. 45:6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. 45:18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself, that formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. You think He's wanting us to get the message? There is no other God. There's only the God of the Bible. Now, the devil, the God of this world, wants people to believe that there are other gods. You have all the Eastern religions that worship multiple, sometimes thousands of gods. You have cults that teach that there's a God that's not the God of the Bible. Why would the devil do that? Because that's his number one goal, is to blind people's minds to the truth of the one true God of the Bible, Jehovah. And sadly, he's doing a pretty good job of it, isn't he? At deceiving people into believing that there are other gods besides the God of the Bible. There is only one God. There is only one Bible. And we hold it in our hands, and we are very blessed that that is the case. And He has made it very clear that if we want to be saved, we must look only unto Him. He is the only solution. He is the only answer. And by the way, Jesus Christ, when He comes on the scene in the New Testament, reveals to us that He is God, the same God of the Bible. God was manifest in the flesh, we're told in 1 Timothy 3:16, which is what the Christmas story is all about. Is God becoming a man that He might die as our substitute and then rise again to conquer death and offer eternal life? But in verse 23 of our passage, the Bible says, I've sworn by myself. Why does God do that? Because he can't swear by anyone else. Because there's no one greater than God. He says that in Hebrews 6. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. How can he swear on anything else? There's nothing greater than God. So he says, I'm sworn by myself that the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. God makes it very clear that what he tells us in his word is reliable. Amen? That he has promised and sworn by himself, and that whatever he has put out there through his prophets and put into the written word of God, notice he says it shall not return. This book is powerful. And this is the book where we find out about God, who he is, where salvation is available. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't know these things, would we? We would just have to guess like most people do and come up with our own ideas. But no, we have the written word of God, and God tells us it will not return. He tells us in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, he cannot lie. And then, of course, Isaiah 55, 11, if you want to turn over there quickly, just 10 chapters over, God makes it very clear that God's word will go out and it will accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. Now, does that mean everyone will get saved? Sadly, no. But I believe that God will make sure that no one will be able to stand before him at the judgment and say, I never had opportunity. Notice Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Sometimes the purpose of God's word is to leave people without an excuse. Sometimes the purpose of God's word is to convict and rebuke. For the unsaved, the ultimate purpose of God's word is to reveal their Creator, his person, and his purpose in writing the word of God, and that is that people could find him. And those who find him and are saved get to spend forever with him. How beautiful is that? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We get to spend eternity with him. And he finishes our passage this morning by reminding us about the judgment. He says that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Now this verse is quoted two times in the New Testament. Romans 14, 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess to God. And then Philippians 2, 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow. I say this often to people. You're much better off to bow here than to have to bow at the great white throne judgment. Because if you find yourself at that judgment, it's too late. You will bow before his power, before his majesty. But you won't be bowing because it's going to help you in any way, because you'll be cast into the lake of fire afterward. Much better to get saved and bow here. Amen. And then when you get to heaven, you're going to voluntarily fall down and bow and confess, because he is your Savior. He is the only true God, and he has saved you from hell. And you'll spend eternity grateful for that fact. So he says, look unto me. Don't look anywhere else. Look unto me and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. There is no other God but the God of the Bible, the creator of the universe. And he said, I will give out my word. It's gone out of my mouth and it shall not return. Our mission, those of us that have found the God of the Bible, is to get the word out. to tell people what the Bible says about God, tell people about salvation so that they also can be saved. It's all about people being saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So what a beautiful, beautiful passage. Look unto me, God said, and be ye saved. Don't look anywhere else. Look unto him, the creator of the universe, the one who wrote us this beautiful love letter called the Bible. Amen. Look unto him and be ye saved. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful passage, this beautiful truth, that you are the only true God, that you've given us your word. And contained in that word is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who loved us so much. He was willing to die as our substitute and rise again. And Lord, I pray that we would share that word with the lost, those of us that have found you. And we would bow that knee every day and swear every day with our tongue, and confess who you are and of your greatness. And Lord, if there's someone here in our service, they don't know if they're saved, I pray that they would realize that you want them to be saved, that you died so they could be saved, and that they would come to Christ even today. So please have your will and way in our hearts. We are so blessed to be your children, to hear from you, and we love you. In Christ's name.